Amen. Be thou glorified, King of glory, Master of all. All honor, all power, all strength belongs to you. Amen. Amen. Good evening and welcome to the Thursday night prayer call with World for Jesus. This is John and Carol Woodbrook, and we're your hosts for the prayer call tonight. Ricky will be sharing a teaching with us shortly right after the intro. I want to thank you all for coming to hear the word of the Lord and to pray for those things that are on God's heart. Before Ricky shares with us, just give you a couple of brief good news points. Former FBI General Counsel James Baker reveals in testimony that he believed Hillary Clinton should have been charged on the evidence. AG Bill Barr declares, according to the Mueller report, that there is no collusion and no obstruction committed by the president or anyone on the Trump team. He indicates that he believes there was spying and also questions whether there was even evidence for opening an investigation in the first place. Christopher Steele, the former MI6 agent who was supposed to have discovered the Russian connection via the phony Trump dossier, has not even been to Russia in 9 years. Matt Gaetz just reported that over 50 transcripts have been voted on out of the House Intel Committee to be declassified, and they are just waiting on them for the Director of National Intelligence. Devin Nunes, who has already referred 8 to 24 criminal counts to AG Bill Barr, reported on that in late 2015 or early 2016, spying began on the Trump campaign. That information was leaked and led to what they considered, quote, legal spying. Former NSA official Bill Binney reported that there is no evidence whatsoever that anything WikiLeaks published was connected in any way with a hack or with the Russians. There's no evidence that anything was taken by Russia, and all the forensics and evaluation done by Bill Binney and those working with him on the DNC servers showed that the information was downloaded on a thumb drive. It was not hacked. The time allowed was too short for it to have been hacked. Next headline, shocker, liberal Washington state nixes radical LGBT sex ed bill after massive outrage by parents. There was a large contingency reported to be 2,000 on the Capitol steps, and that included our own worship leader and his family, as well as many Russian churches. Thank you, Lord. North Dakota governor signs bill banning dismemberment abortions. Almost 100 abortion clinic workers seek to leave their jobs after seeing the movie Unplanned. And last, Ohio just became the fifth state to ban abortion at 6 weeks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in the earth today, Lord. Thank you that when you hear us, Lord, I pray according to your will, Lord, that we have the request granted that we petition of you. Thank you, Lord, that the effectual and fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Ricky, I'm going to go ahead and turn things over to you, so please go ahead and share with us tonight.
Thank you, John. Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 6, and I'll get us started with a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the praise reports that we have. Thank you, Lord, for the victories that we're seeing in our nation. Thank you, Father God, that a movie that they fought to keep out of theaters is making huge headway, even so much as causing people to leave their jobs because they realized they were on the wrong side of this fight. I thank you, Father God, for victories like this. I thank you, Father God, for clearing our president. I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing. You are an awesome and amazing God. And I thank you. I thank you Father, as we prepare to go into your word, I ask that you would come, that you would be with us, that you would minister to us through your word, that you would settle things around us, that we could focus on what you have for us tonight, that you would bring forth revelation, understanding, that you would bring forth, Lord God, an impartation of who you are, of your will, of your ways into our lives. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. Thank you. Come, Holy Spirit, come and be our teacher. In your precious and holy name, amen. So last week I shared with you, and I actually did two messages. It's part one and part two, the awakening, on Passover, on the purpose of God's Passover to bring the creation back into intimacy and fellowship with the Creator. I did it last night on Thursday, and then the Lord carried that message through to Friday morning on our staff call, and so I encourage you to go listen to that. Both would have been great messages for this week, seeing how we are in Passover. But Mom called, and she's not feeling good, so she asked me to share. And so while I collected myself and sought the Lord, the Lord began to speak to me. You see, today, I was on a call today for about 7.5 hours, a prayer call for persecuted Christians around the world. And it's hard to deviate from something like that when you are on a call with people that are weeping before God on behalf of people who are being persecuted for their faith. Day in and day out, they're being killed for their faith. Of the ones reported, there's about one an hour. And you think, well, that doesn't sound like much. Well, it's a lot if you're a family member. It's everything if you're a family member. Those are the ones that are being reported. Part of the problem is that in these rural areas, people are afraid to report it. People aren't just being killed because they're in the path of destruction. They're being killed because they're Christians. It is a modern-day genocide. We have reached a peak in the persecution of Christians in 2019. And for those of you that were at our gathering, Pastor Shio talked about this, and he talked about the devastation and how unbelievably unreported these slaughters are in the news, just in Nigeria alone. He's in connection with people on the ground there, so he is very aware of the numbers. One an hour doesn't cut it when it comes to what's taking place in Nigeria today. And so when I pulled away from the call in order to begin preparing for tonight, I found myself struggling because my heart is with those that are suffering for the gospel. And the Lord reminded me of the message last week, and he reminded me, I sent my son, my Passover lamb, to bring my creation back into a place of intimacy with their Creator for such a time as this. For such a time as this. He knew that there would be persecution coming. And I want to tell you that persecution of Christians is different from judgment coming to the house of God, because judgment is in fact here. And we see this as God is exposing what's going on in the church. It's two different things. The persecution that's taking place in among Christians today . It's devastating. And he said, I sent my son. So that they could come, enter into the John 17 union with me, the John 17 oneness with me, so that I could be there for them. My son died for them upon that cross. He rose again to take away their sins. But it was more than just our key, our entrance, our ticket into heaven. It was about relationship. And the entire time that Christ walked here on this earth, he talked about the relationship with the Father. Everything that he didn't do for himself. He did for the Father. To bring people to a place where they were looking back at Father God, and they were seeing Jesus there in the flesh, demonstrating the kingdom of heaven. As this year began, the Lord said, we are exiting the church age and we are moving into the kingdom age. So I have been talking a lot about the kingdom age, and I'm going to tell you why. Because God is preparing us. He's preparing us to go home. And we don't have our eyes on the kingdom. We don't have our eyes on Jesus. We don't have our eyes on the Father. We don't have our eyes on anything but us. What's happening to us? I got to get up in the morning. I got to make sure I get enough sleep at night. I got to get up in the morning so I can spend time with the Lord. And then I got to get ready. I got to drive to work. Oh, I hope the traffic isn't bad. Oh, I forgot my breakfast. Let me grab a granola bar. Let's not forget the trough of coffee that we need and head to work. And then we have work, 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 work. Funny, people used to say, what's it like having Nita Johnson as a mom? Do you just sit at her feet all day? I used to just smile and just chuckle. And I thought, how do we think things get done around here? We got a business, too. This is it's a ministry. We got lots of stuff to do here. But I always thought it was really sweet. So we have all of these things that we have to do to make sure the ministry continues to grow, to make sure that we're reaching out into the lives of people, whether it's through Cedarwood, whether it's through our missions department, whether it's the teaching, the prayer, getting the prayer points together. Whatever arm of the ministry, or whether we're overseeing all of it, there's practical things that have to be done. And when you're in ministry, you can get so busy, so focused on all of the practical things that we have to do, we forget about the kingdom of God. And distraction can come. It can pull us away from the focus, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist came on the scene, and what did he say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. After Jesus came, he was baptized, he went through his testing, and he came back saying what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, if that was true 2,000 years ago, what do you think it is today? There wasn't a single thing that Jesus did that was for himself while he was on this earth. Even in the moment of physical fragility, even in the moment where he had fasted for 40 days and Satan is there and he's trying to draw him away from the kingdom of heaven, and he says, turn these stones into bread. He wouldn't even use the power and the authority that he surely had to actually turn those stones into bread to feed himself. He didn't use what God gave him to serve his own needs. The Bible tells us that the angels came and fed him. After this, Jesus goes in, and we have in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we have the Sermon on the Mount. And this is a very important sermon. It's the longest sermon that we have on record of Jesus's. And in this sermon, Jesus is breaking down the barriers. He's breaking down the law. He's saying, it isn't just thou shalt not kill. It's actually, if you have hate in your heart, you're guilty of murder. It isn't thou shalt not just commit adultery. It's if you look at a woman with lust in your eyes, you've already committed adultery. He's breaking down the barriers of everything that they had known. The people that were there that were listening to him, they were Jewish people. They knew the law. And when we move into Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gives them, he goes through a list of things. And everything in this chapter, nearly everything in this chapter, are the things that would bring distraction to us. Making ourselves look good, like, for example, the way we give, how we pray. I know we've got people that pray on this line, and I just think, man alive, they know how to pray. They know how to use scripture when they pray. They know how to transition between the prayer points. It's so eloquent. It's almost poetic in nature. I look at, for example, Pastor Will. He just knows how to incorporate it all. And sometimes I get so caught up in how fluid he is in the prayers. Forgive me. But I'm forgetting about the prayer point because it's so beautiful how he prays. I look at Pastor Matt and Adrian, and they're quick to tears. They're quick to intercede. It's beautiful how they're these men, they're quick to tears. That's when you know the Spirit of God has gotten a hold of someone. Does it mean the Spirit of God isn't a hold of somebody if they're praying eloquently? Absolutely not. But our focus isn't to be about the method of prayer. It's to be about the Spirit of the living God. Praying according to the Spirit of the living God. We get hundreds of people that come on these lines. Hundreds and hundreds upon hundreds. Up into the thousands. Tap into those calls over the weekend because they can't be here during the week. From all over the world, people click on that from the Intercessor's Vault and they pray along with us. It's a beautiful thing because God is using that to effect change in our nation. He uses the different types of prayer, the different styles to effect change, not only in our nation, but in nations around the world because people are researching in coming up with prayer points for their own countries. Isn't that the way prayer is supposed to work? If they can pray for 20 years and get a man like Donald Trump in office who will go and take the elite head on to tackle abortion and human trafficking the way he does, my goodness, we want a man in office like that. We are going to pray. We are going to repent. John is wonderful at praying, and he weeps. He's quick to let the Spirit weep through him. Every person you hear on this line is focused on letting the Spirit of the Lord lead them. They're not there in the middle of the temple speaking out their prayers, looking for the adoration of all. When I make comments about those that pray on this line, I'm honoring them because of their commitment for this nation. So Jesus goes through on their giving, on their praying, on their fasting, because when we give, when we pray, when we fast, we are not doing this for those around us. We think, well, if I give to your ministry, I am sort of doing it for those around me, right? Well, that's just another topic. But you're sowing into a work. But you give online. You give through a donation, through the mail. Not carding it in with songs and trumpets. It's about focusing on the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. I can't begin to express to you how close we are. Matthew 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to tell you, this word treasure, it's the Greek word for this is thesaurus. And that's where we get our English, that's the root word for our English word, thesaurus. It's a storehouse of words, right? That's what a thesaurus is, a storehouse of words. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So Jesus is trying to break down, as he addressed the law in Matthew chapter 5, and as he is dealing with the things that toot our horns at the beginning of chapter 6, and he teaches them how to pray, now he's addressing the things that cause us to lay up our treasures. What is our storehouse? What is your focus? Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Jesus knows mankind, right? Because he was there, part of creation. And Jesus' cry when he came down from fasting, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And if that was true 2,000 years ago, what do you think it is today? If the kingdom of heaven was at hand then, and he was addressing the storehouse, he was addressing a place where you store your treasures, the things that you see as valuable, then imagine how far we are to the end now. Imagine where we are today. Where are our thoughts? Are they focused on the kingdom of heaven? Today, like I said, I spent about 7.5 hours on a prayer call for persecuted Christians. And my heart was broken. For the believers that are dying for their faith, many of them are new babes. They're babes in Christ. Children are being killed. Women. Husbands. Fathers. Do you think that when a Fulani herdsman comes rushing through with a machete, they're thinking about what they need to grab? Oh, you know that treasure box where we've been storing up a few pieces of silver? We better grab that before they come through our village. They grab their children and they flee. If they make it to the safety of the bush, they watch as their home is burned to the ground. And those that did not make it to the safety of the bush are slaughtered before their eyes. They're thinking every day, am I going to see the kingdom of heaven today? Persecution in China is very high. It's increased exponentially over the last couple years. Pakistan, it's terrible. In India, one of the orphanages that we support is in India. And they've gone from 20 children to over 100 in a very short while, because of the persecution. The parents are being killed for being Christians. Do you think they're focused on next year? Do you think they're focused on tomorrow? They're focused on developing those children into believers in Jesus Christ. So that if their orphanage is hit next, those children will be in heaven. They're storing their treasures in the hearts of these children. Where are our thoughts? Are our thoughts on our bills? And I'm not saying, you know, call your bill maker, your bill collectors and say, listen, I'm sorry, I'm just not going to be able to pay my bill because I'm not sure how much longer we're going to be here. And my focus really needs to be on kingdom work. I'm not telling you to do that. So please, please, please don't call me tomorrow and say, guess what I did yesterday? I'm saying, where are your thoughts? Are your thoughts, are your treasures being stored up in heaven? Are the things that you do focused on kingdom work, on advancing the kingdom of God? Are the steps that you take preparing yourself to meet the Creator who sent His Passover lamb so that He could enter into relationship with you? The enemy comes in to kill, steal, and destroy. When he comes in to kill, steal, and destroy, what does he come? Is it always a literal thing? No, he comes in to steal our thoughts and distract us. You know, I've heard some very good sermons on this chapter of Matthew, on Matthew chapter 6. I've heard some very, very good sermons on this, on not being anxious. Don't worry about it. God will take care of it. They're all very good sermons. They're all important sermons. But Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So everything from verse 24 to 32 is talking about our needs being met and people being so focused on our needs being met that we forget about our spirit man. We allow the distraction and the cares of the world to strip us, to pull us, to steal us away from our King, our Creator, our God, the one who sent his Passover lamb to die on the cross to reconnect us with our Creator. He is the King of Kings, and we do worship him, but he is also our Father in heaven who created us, who formed us in our mother's womb, who developed us, who watched every single cell within our bodies multiply. He knew exactly what color our eyes were going to be. I cannot even tell you the number of people that are born every single day. So I'm not even going to try to, and maybe I should have looked that up, but I'm telling you, for every single person that is born, God, the Father, knew the color of their eyes as they were formed in their mother's wombs. That's intimacy. You don't even get that information when you have a 4D ultrasound. You can guess it based on the DNA between the parents, but you don't get it. But the Father God knows it. That's how intimately and intricately involved he is in our lives. And all he's waiting for is for us to accept the Passover lamb and enter back into relationship with him, enter into intimacy with him, and cast our cares upon him because he does care for us, and enter into a relationship with him. I talked to you about this in great depth last week, and I continued it on into Friday morning. The Lord continued it on into Friday morning because he is saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the destroyer is coming. And if you haven't entered into relationship with me, intimate relationship with me, not only are you not gonna make it, you're gonna be consumed. You won't have the grace to endure it. You won't have the grace to endure the persecution. Today, when we were on that call, all I could do was cry out that God would grant them the grace, a brand new baby Christian, the grace to die for him. Some of these people have been saved for literally days. Can you imagine getting saved? And in 7 days, they knock on your door and say, okay, so you have two choices. You can deny this Jesus Christ, or you can die. Which is it? You're 7 days old in the faith. Most people, 10 years old in the faith, can't make that decision. You get 2, 3, 4 decades up there, you feel like, yep, I can do it. I'm a knocking. I can do it. I'm ready. When I was 13, 14 years old, I saw the movie Left Behind. And it scared the bejesus out of me. It scared me to death. I was only a couple years old in the faith. And it scared me. I thought, and here's how young I was, right? Because I'm thinking, I haven't finished school. I haven't gotten married. To mention nothing of a career. That's funny, right? Career. I was going to be a lawyer. That's funny. That's another story. None of that. My hopes, my dreams, my wishes. I wanted to go to school. I wanted to finish college. I wanted to go to law school. And I wanted to be a lawyer. And I wanted to help people. So I was going to be a poor lawyer. And then I was going to get married and have kids. Because I didn't want to not be there with my children because I was so focused on my career, being a poor lawyer. So my thoughts were where? On me. My focus was on me. What about Ricky? What about my plans for my life? They said, well, honey, you have a call on your life. And I thought, huh. Now, I love to be in ministry. Yes, I used to lead people to the Lord. I was in healing services. I watched people get healed, all of that. I mean, you guys have heard my mom share those stories. All of it was very exciting. I thought it was a great phase that I was in. But for a career, you know, I mean, my mom had just gone into the ministry. Understanding ministry was at the very bottom of my list. Understanding what all that was involved in being in ministry. I just had a very sliver of understanding. So to be called into ministry wasn't part of my plan. I was very goal-oriented as a child. I'm going to get straight A's this semester. I'm going to do a little bit of extracurricular activity. I'm going to do some volunteering. The church fits right into that. I think I'll volunteer at the church. And I will I'll do better cleaning my room. That'll make mom happy. You know, I was very goal-oriented. I mean, I was 8, 9 years old. I was very goal-oriented, even as a young child. I had a 5-year plan. I had a 10-year plan. What 8 and 9-year-old has a 10-year plan? None of this stuff fits. None of what I'm doing today fit into any plan. Thank goodness God was in control instead of me. Because as long as I held the reins, I made a mess of everything. My thoughts were on me. And I couldn't imagine dying. I couldn't imagine facing that decision. And so like every preteen, teenage year, I just put it on denial. And then I grew up. You know, when we're a child, we think as a child, and then we grow up. And the Lord called me into ministry. People weren't telling me I was called to ministry. The Lord called me into ministry. And over the last several years, He's been transitioning my mindset. The more my thoughts are on Him, the more my focus is on His plan and not mine, the more I understand the kingdom of heaven, the more I understand where we are today, the more I see the reality of the timeline that we're living in, the more I understand how crucial it is that our thoughts remaining focused on intimacy with Him so that when that knock comes at our door or when that battering comes and knocks out our door and someone is pointing a gun or about to take us off to the guillotine or lock us up in prison, I'm ready. And not only am I ready, I have done everything in my power, everything at my disposal to get others ready, to help people see that the one they may need to die for died for them first, that he didn't do it so that they could gain entrance into heaven, but so that they could have relationship with him, so that he could be there with them, holding their hand in the midst of being martyred for him. We often say, well, I'll jump in front of a bullet to save my child. I will jump in front of a car to save my spouse. I will fight tooth and nail to save my mother, my father. These are people that we know, that we love, that are tangible before us. These are people that we can call and say hello to, that we can reach out and we can hug, we can share a meal with. But the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the ability to know our Savior intimately, where we can be in a crowded room and hear him whisper our name, is actually possible. You know, if you're a parent or a grandparent, you can be in a room full of mothers and you hear mommy and you know that's your kid. You can be in a room full of mothers. There can be 50 kids in that room and you hear mommy and you know that's your kid calling you and you are on the hunt to find your child. My kid needs me, because you're in tuned to the voice of your child. But Jesus came, releasing the kingdom of heaven in the earth, releasing the possibility of intimacy, releasing the Holy Spirit into the believers. Why? So that we would know his voice and respond. So that when we pray, he is praying through us. When we cry out, it's his tears that are flowing from us. When we spend time in the Word, he's whispering revelation and understanding into our spirit, man. It becomes a part of who we are. This is what Passover is about. Relationship with our Savior. So that when they come a-knocking and we are given the ultimatum, without question, without hesitation, we will jump in front of that bullet. We will run to the guillotine. If they want to burn us at the stake, we'll carry the wood, because we will gladly die for someone we know so well. We will gladly die for the one who stretched out his hands and died for us 2,000 years ago. Because we have come to know relationally the one we are being asked to die for. I think of the people in India, the people in Pakistan, in China, in Nigeria, several places across Africa, throughout the Middle East, where they are facing persecution historically higher than ever before. Many of them new babes in Christ, and they got to grow up real fast. And we here in America have had the privilege to come to know our Savior, and we've been so focused on the cares of the world, storing up our treasures underneath the mattresses, that we have forgotten why we are here. We are here to release the kingdom of heaven into the earth. That's what we're here for. To release the kingdom of heaven. We should be infectious. Like the plague infectious. People come in contact with us and they have had a big old dose of Jesus. Just by conversation with us. An encounter with us should stamp Christ on their hearts. When they walk away, they should walk away saying, something is missing from my life. Because when they're in our bubble, our presence, Christ is so prevalent that when they walk away from us, they don't even know that they miss him. They don't even know that their soul was aching for him until we have parted ways. And then there, it's like something ripped out their heart. Because that thing that God placed in them when they were born that would draw them to him has been ignited. Are you igniting the seed in people's lives? Are your storehouses in heaven being filled with souls? Being filled with the thoughts you have of Christ? Being filled with the love and the passion you have to bring people into the kingdom of heaven with you? Is that your storehouse? The enemy is going to come in and he is going to fight to distract you because he doesn't want you knowing where your storehouse really is and what you're putting in there. Stop and think for a moment, for just a moment. Stop and think, what have I been storing up? Have I been storing up memories? My world travels? Have I been storing up funds for a rainy day? Have I been working 12 to 15 hours a day so that I have something to retire on? Or have I been sowing into the lives of those who need Jesus? Have I been sowing into the ministries that go out and preach the gospel? Have I been spending time with the one who died for me and developing within every single fiber of my being a love and a passion for him that is so intense, so strong that when people pass me, they feel the heat and the fire of the living God? Am I building myself up with the kingdom things so I have something in me to pour out into others? Because the enemy strives to steal that which the Lord wants to give you. And I'm not saying you give 10% and God's going to give you 100-fold, because that is a lie from the devil. The Bible never talked about that. That has drawn people into such poverty in the continent of Africa. It breaks my heart. That's another message. I'm saying, what are you sowing into? What are your storehouses? Where are your treasures? What's in your container for special things? What's in there? If you came face to face with the Lord today and He pulled out your storehouse, your treasures, the ones that you were storing up, and the kingdom treasures He collected on your behalf, whose treasure box would be bigger? The one He has for you or the one you bring to the conversation? Well, I bought a house. I remodeled it. I sold it. And then I got another one. Well, I gave 10% of the profits to my local church. Did you spend time with me every day? Did you come to know me? Did you seek my face early in the morning? Because I was waiting for you. I was waiting. Well, I have 16 Bibles. Have any of them been opened recently? Are the pages torn and tattered? Because you cannot get enough of my word. Because those are the things I would store in the storehouse I have for you. When I was a kid, I used to think, okay, so He's going to have, you know, the desires of our heart in heaven, right? So, of course, like every child, I have a chocolate fountain in my front yard. My daughter just wants her hallways to have, to be rivers. She'll just get on a raft from room to room. I'll have horses and flowers. Those are the things that would bring me pleasure, right? But consider for a moment that when you got to heaven, and I say you because I say me because the Lord's been working on me on this for some time now. So whatever He works on me, I share with you. Consider you got to the pearly gates. And you had accepted the Lord. So you have entrance. Now, of course, like every good Christian, we're bringing our treasure box with us, right? The things we worked on, the things we saw, our accolades, so that we can prove we deserve entrance here. But like when you go through security at the airport, an alarm is going to go off and say, you know, all that stuff doesn't matter here. You're going to have to leave it outside. Only one item can you bring with you. What would you grab? You say, well, you know, we think, oh, my Bible. Well, Jesus is the Word. He's truth. He's life. Right? So here you are. You've made it into the gate, all your stuff. The movers are coming to take it to Goodwill or something. You're in the gate now. And there's no one there. And in keeping with the times, a computer is there, and it begins to roll through your life, assessing what you've done. Well, works doesn't get me into heaven. Just bear with me for a moment, please. Works do not get you into heaven. The blood of Christ gains you entrance, accepting him, recognizing your sins, repenting, and accepting him. So we're going to just move past that. So the computer generates, it's now spent some time going through your life. And when it's all said and done, it's going to print out a statement. And once you have that statement, it's going to tell you where you live. It's going to tell you where you're going to live in heaven. And if you did only as much as was needed to slip in through the gate, chances are that's where you're going to stay for the first many, many centuries. Because you're going to have to learn about the one on the throne. Because he died for you. He knows all about you, but you know nothing about him. His call was for the kingdom of heaven to be released in the earth, which means intimacy with your creator, and you did nothing to gain that intimacy. So you are there for the first many centuries, waiting to take a step further until you know him enough to get closer to that throne. You don't even have a crown to throw at him. Now, on the other side of this, you have Peter. You have John. You have Paul. You have Stephen. All of whom spent time with the Lord. I know Paul didn't, but the Lord came and spoke to him for 3 years and unpacked the Old Testament. That's why he was able to speak into how Christ fulfilled the law in the New Testament the way he did. So, but he spent time with him here in prayer and in the Word. He wrote out the scriptures that we study today so that we too can get closer to Christ, our Creator, who sent his Son to die for us so that we could not slip into heaven, but have intimacy with our Creator. Paul, Peter, James, John, Stephen, they're in the throne room. Because they were invited to the wedding feast. Because they dedicated their lives to serving the one they knew so well. They were the crowns thrown at his feet. Which is it? Where are your storehouse of treasures laid today? Are you planning on carrying them into heaven? Or are they in heaven, having deposit after deposit? Deposits that come every morning when you fellowship with your Creator. Every afternoon when you have coffee with your coworker and share the gospel. So if I could lose my job for sharing the gospel, again, that's another conversation. If the Spirit of the Lord leads you, it'll be worth it if she makes it into heaven with you, because you led her to the Lord. You see, the kingdom of heaven is in fact at hand. We are in the process, and we have left the church age, and we have entered the kingdom age, which means we are so close that most people who have a storehouse for retirement, if they're under 40 or 45, chances are they won't even have a chance to tap into it. So our focus, when you consider the amount of persecution that's taking place around the world, you think, well, I really haven't been able to identify with that here. Well, haven't you? Didn't I just say you could lose your job for sharing the gospel with your coworker? What about the HR talks, the he, she, they, we, them conversation? Because they're so focused about being politically correct, they've forgotten how to be and walk in truth. People are burning down churches. So, well, that's not really about faith. That's about, Trump. They're just mad at Trump. That's a very good excuse they're using, isn't it? That's a very good excuse. He's easy to pin stuff on right now. He's a big target. Are you focused on the kingdom? Are you focused on your Creator? Because if you are, when that computer spits out your statement, angels will usher you. They will usher you to your position in heaven. They will usher you. If you have spent your life, every moment you had, developing intimacy with your Creator, when your tally comes out, that's who you'll meet. People don't like to hear that. They really want to think that as soon as they get to heaven, the angels will sing and celebrate. Jesus will be there to greet them. But as close as you came to Christ on earth, that's where you start in heaven. That's just the way it is. You don't take anything with you. He has your storehouse. He has the one that matters. Is the enemy distracting you? Fight him. The whole scripture in Matthew 6, when it talks about worry, that's about your thoughts. Those are literally distractions that can steal your soul. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what you'll eat. Don't worry about what you'll wear. It's all distraction. That word worry, also thoughts. In the King James, it's thoughts. Those are distractions capable of stealing your soul. So my friend, are your thoughts on him? Are you casting down the distractions? Is your focus on your Creator? Are you remembering in this time that Sunday isn't about the Easter Bunny, but that Christ has risen? That we're in the Passover season and his blood has covered you so that when the destroyer comes, you will not be consumed. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God? Are you seeking the kingdom? I wish to God I understood this 30 years ago. I wish I understood it 20 years ago. My heart breaks over the time I wasted focusing on me and my plan. My friends, the time is short. Seek ye first, please. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Heavenly Father, we just want to repent, Lord God. Repent that we didn't focus on the kingdom of heaven, that we didn't focus on you. We didn't focus on the things that were important, the things that mattered to you. You gave us your life. You walked it out before us, giving us an example day in and day out that we can study, that we might be like you, Lord God. Wherever we are and wherever we've been, Lord God, let us turn our hearts, our eyes, our focus to you and to filling that storehouse in heaven with all that you have created us to do in this life. Help us to cast down distractions and the things that would steal our soul. And focus on you, our Creator, our Savior. You didn't just create us, but you saved us. Help us, Lord. Help us. In your precious name, amen.
Thanks, Ricky. That was an important message, real important. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you cause us to be accountable, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you cause us to see things according to Colossians chapter 3, that we would set our mind on the things above and not on the things that are on the earth, for our lives, for we have died and our lives are hidden with Christ in God. Lord, give us a perspective. Lord, give us that perspective that helps us, Lord, to really make the main thing, and understand and realize that we're just passing through this place. This is only a temporary situation, and that our citizenship is in heaven. Lord God, give us a paradigm shift, Lord, that we would see the truth, that we would see, oh Lord God, our lives as you see them. Lord, that we would see eternity, that eternity would not be an elusive thing that we're unable to grasp, Lord, but that it would be something that we have understanding of, something that we're preparing for, something that we're investing in. Lord, that we would redeem the time, that we would redeem the time while we're here on the earth, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do it in us, Lord. Work in us, Lord. Bring your changes in us, Lord. Give us awareness, Lord. Give us accountability, Lord. Give us a hunger, Lord. Give us a hunger that would cause us to return to our first love. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you and bless you and worship you. Go ahead, Pastor Will, if you would please, and you can pray into that as well, too.
Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for this opportunity to sow into the kingdom. Father, we are on this call tonight because it is our heart's desire to see your kingdom established in the hearts of men and women and children, not only here in the United States, but in the nations of the earth, and to see your kingdom expanding throughout all the earth until the earth is filled with the glory of the Lord. Father, we do stand tonight in repentance for a church that has for too long minded temporal things, whose focus have been on the things beneath rather than the things which are above. Lord, I'm reminded of a saying that said, don't be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. But the fact of the matter is that the church is so earthly minded, it has become no heavenly good. I'm reminded that it was Evan Roberts of the Welsh Revival who cried out, oh God, stamp eternity on my eyeballs. And Lord, that is our prayer tonight, that Lord, you would stamp eternity on our eyeballs, that we would view life, even the very mundane, everyday things that we do, we would see it through the lens of eternity, and that our words and our actions and our giving and our praying would be weighed, Lord, in light of eternity. Father, we repent that the church is filled with so many who are like the seed sown in stony ground, who receive the word with great joy and they endure for a moment. But as soon as persecution arises on behalf of the word, immediately they are offended and they fall away. And there is that other seed that fell, Lord, among the thorns and the thistles and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choked the word and they bore no fruit. Lord, it was Paul who wrote, I believe, to the Philippians, who said, I hope to send to you Timothy, for I have no one like him who will sincerely care for your estate. For all seek their own and not the things that be of Christ. Lord, tonight we repent on behalf of a church that is seeking its own, that even believes that godliness is great gain, that, Lord, who have swallowed the lie of a prosperity message that promised them wealth and comfort in this life and their best life now. But, Lord, again we pray that, Lord, you would begin to open the eyes of the blind in your church, that we would begin to see through the lens of eternity, that we would mind the things which are of Christ, that we would seek the things that are of Christ. For there are many, Lord, that will claim in a moment of emotional fervor, and there are many who will claim in the strength of their own flesh, that they would give their life for you, when in fact many will not even give up a meal. You know our hypocrisy. You know our pride. You know, Lord God, where we really stand in light of our devotion and faithfulness to you and to your cause. And so, Father, we pray for the church that you would indeed do something great in, as John just prayed, restoring us to our first love and giving us eyes that look above where Christ is seated, to set our things on our mind on heavenly things, to have eternity stamped on our eyeballs. Father, as Ricky was speaking about persecution and judgment, I couldn't help but think that persecution is our Christians being afflicted by men, but judgment are those believers being afflicted by you. And Lord, we need judgment to come first to the house of God. Lord, we need for you to chasten us. Whom you love, you chasten us. And you scourge every son that you have received. Why? So that we would not be judged with the world. Your judgment of your church is for correction. Lord, your judgment of the world is for punishment. Lord, we ask that you would indeed chasten us And Lord, save us from our path towards self-indulgence. Father, we lift our president before you, and we see a man who has been indeed persecuted by men. Lord, a man who has been maligned and attacked on every side, but you have vindicated the innocent. And Lord, you have given him an enabling grace to persevere in the face of much trial and much tribulation and much persecution against him. And you have exposed, Lord, the lies, and you have exposed the plots of wicked individuals to undermine your will for this man and your will for our nation in your placing him in the presidency. Father, we are asking that judgment would now come to those that are guilty, that, Lord, you would judge their crimes, and that, Lord, you would teach this nation the fear of the Lord. Lord, by executing, Lord, a vengeance, Lord, even in this, your purpose is a redemptive, because you desire that all men should be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, Lord. And Father, that is our prayer, that even in judgment, Lord, judgment upon the crimes that they have committed civilly and socially, there may still be a mercy extended to their souls, that they would be saved, that they would escape the damnation of hell. For you take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And you would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And so, Father, we pray that this would be a year not only of truth as you reveal these crimes, but that there would also be judgment. Even as one has been persecuted, Lord, we ask that the others would be judged. And that, Lord, in the judgment, you would work out your redemptive kingdom purposes in this nation. That, Lord, you would open the eyes of the American people. That, Lord, once again, we would fear the Lord. Father, we pray, Lord God, that there would be, Father, just a moving transition, once again to the Lord. That, Lord, we would seek out the old path wherein the good way is. That, Lord, you would lead this nation by your Spirit in the path of righteousness for your namesake, as you have ordained one man to endeavor, to labor, to lift the standard of righteousness in the body politic. Lord, we are asking that you would once again ordain the church to raise the standard of decency and righteousness in this nation and in our society. And Father, as Ricky was praying for Nigeria, we pray that, Lord, you would move powerfully by your Spirit to turn the tide in that nation. Lord, that government corruption in Nigeria would be exposed, that intercessors would be activated, that, Lord, the genocide would be stopped, that there would be such a move of your Spirit to bring a deep conviction of sin. Lord, even a revelation of horror at what these wicked people are doing, that they would just be shaken by your Spirit and be horrified at what they are, that they are capable, as they are animated by the spirit of murder and death. That you would bring liberation to the church in Nigeria, that you would bring liberation to the nation from the stronghold of the wicked one, that you would bring Nigeria into light and into life and into the love of Christ. Father, we praise you tonight. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. We thank you, O God. Lord, we thank you for putting an end to so much of the crime, so much of the works of darkness in our nation, the human trafficking, Lord, pandemic in this nation, that sting operations would be effective and that they would gain traction. We pray for exposure, arrest, convictions in jail for all the organizations and networks that are involved in pedophilia and human trafficking, that you would remove the spirit of cover-ups and unrighteousness, and that even here truth and justice would gain momentum, that there would be an increase in the pro-life movement across this nation, the exposure of Planned Parenthood's attempt to infiltrate the educational system, and for the overturning of the abortion in our country. Lord, that righteousness would be raised up in our educational system with a return to truth and conservative values. Lord, we are asking for nothing less than that the kingdom of God would be established in the institutions that have fallen prey to the strongholds of the enemy, that the kingdom of God would be established in media, that the kingdom of God would be established in entertainment, that the kingdom of God would be established, Lord, in education, that the kingdom of God would be established in the politic life of this nation, and above all, that the kingdom of God would be restored to the pulpits of America. Father, we ask this in Jesus' precious name. And we thank you for the privilege of sowing into the kingdom to see its establishment in the earth and its expansion in the earth. We give you praise and we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father, God. Father, I thank you for this message tonight, God. I thank you, Father God, that we can surrender all in this hour, in this season, in this moment of Passover, Father, of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you that we would lay our lives down as a seed for the kingdom. Father, wherever we haven't submitted our lives to you, let it be done now for the kingdom. God, let that fire, a fresh fire from heaven come and rekindle our hearts and grant us a fresh passion and hunger and thirst for your righteousness, that we would put all aside, Father. It is the cares of this world that choke out your word in us, God, where we become dull of hearing, dull of heart. Father, break up the fallow ground of our heart that the reality of your kingdom can be birthed in and through us, God, in this hour, that we can be the burning ones, that we can be the ones, oh God, that are willing to die for the kingdom. Father, many more martyrs will come. Persecution is coming in ways we've never imagined to this nation. You never said that you promised us freedom from persecution, but you promised us life in the kingdom. Help us to teach us how to function in the kingdom, in a reality that we may not have ever had. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. I give you praise for this message, Lord. I thank you for the intimacy that you are offering to us, not just salvation, but you are beckoning us to come in to that place in you where we have protection. God, I thank you I thank you, Father. You paid a high price. Help us to surrender it all. You're worthy of it all, Father, and we thank you. And God, I thank you as I turn my heart to the issues of the immigrants in the southern borders, Lord. They are pressing against our borders, Lord. They are breaking an already broken system. Father, we need you to come and destroy the works of the enemy. We need you to come. Let your kingdom come along our southern borders. Let your will be done. Release a revival in this area. Destroy the works of the enemy. Destroy the works of the deep state. Dry up their funding. And cause every plot and every plan and every assignment and every caravan that they are funding, let it dry up. Let their plans fail and fall. Father, I thank you that there would be a quick completion of the border, of the wall. And I thank you, Father God, that this broken system can be fixed, that our immigration laws would be repaired, that righteousness would be raised up. God, grant us approval of the USMCA trade agreement. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you that all Americans will wake up. And I thank you, Father God, that this movie is doing just that on abortion. God, I thank you. It's awakening the American people. It's awakening them to truth. Father, you have a way. You make ways out of no ways, and I just thank you for what you're doing, that people are waking up to this socialistic agenda. And God, I thank you for justice, true justice, coming to all those that thought they were getting away with things, God. To the Democrats and to the elite, God, I thank you, Father, that justice is coming. And Father, I come against any false flag events in our nation. I thank you, Father, for protecting us, God, as we go through the refining, as we go through the things that are necessary to fulfill our destiny. Let any false flags be exposed, Father. Thank you for neutralizing the 5G towers. Thank you for stopping HAARP and the chemtrails. Father, I thank you for all their weaponry that they are planning to use against us. Father, I thank you that you will begin to turn it around, that you will put a stop to some of these things that are harming not only the American people, but worldwide. And I thank you, Father God, that you're doing wonderful things in this hour and more to come. And we look to heaven and we keep our eyes on you and focus on you, Father, as you bring them to pass. Father, I thank you for helping us to stand strong in this hour. And I give you praise in Jesus' name.
Lord Jesus, we are so grateful that the Father gave us to you. And when we hear the truth of your word and your kingdom, like Ricky shared tonight, our hearts beat deeper within us. There's a call and a cry arising for you, O Lord, to go deeper. Holy Spirit, only you can show us our own hearts. There's a call and a cry for you to go deeper, to lead us in repentance. You're such a good, good Father. The way you father us, the way you lead us in repentance, we ask that such a grace would blanket and cover your church in this nation, a grace to be led in repentance, to be fathered, to be fathered into repentance. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would remove our hearts of stone and give us hearts of flesh, that we could respond as your entire church. Lord Jesus, we ask your forgiveness because we haven't been one as you and the Father are one. We haven't released the revelation that the Father sent you by being one. And so we ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive us and lead us in repentance by your Spirit. Lord, that all divisions, Lord, all race abuses, all factions, Lord, and things that keep us from being one, that you would dismantle them and tear them down as you lead us in repentance. That we truly would be one, just as you and the Father are one, that the world will know that the Father sent you, the Word, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the earth. Jesus, forgive us for not walking in holiness, for not filling our storehouses with heavenly treasure. Oh, we ask for your mercy to come. Lead us in repentance. Let our hearts become hearts of flesh and burn within us. We ask you, Father, that you would release the spirit of reformation to burn within us with repentance and the shining of your truth, Lord. You are so great and glorious. We stand in awe of you in your holiness. We ask you, Father, to pour out your spirit on your church to help us that we can be holy as you are holy. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your great, great love for us. We ask that as you lead us in repentance, that we would truly experience the revelation of Christ that Nita talks about. That we would experience the revelation of Christ, and that would make us burning and shining lamps in this world, in this nation, Lord. Bringing light to the dark places, bringing freedom to the captive. Holy Spirit, we love you. We love your work. We love your work in us and through us. We ask that you would help us as you lead us in repentance. Jesus, build your house of prayer, living stone upon living stone. Build your house of prayer. And Lord Jesus, may you lead us into the place of holiness, and may you lead us into the place where you are again our first love. Will you empower us for our returning, your church in America? Will you empower us for returning? that you would help us to stop chasing after the things of this life. Holy Spirit, you alone can show us our hearts. Help us not to chase after the treasures of this earth that only become the millstone around our necks, but help us instead to pursue those things that are truthful and righteous and holy, those things that are of value in the kingdom of heaven. Help us truly to lift up our eyes to the hills where our help comes from. Help us, O Lord, not to rely upon ourselves, which is really a sentence of death, but to rely upon you who raises the dead. Thank you. Thank you for your great love for us. And to lead us in repentance, we ask for the revelation of your love, that we would know how high, how wide, how long, and how deep your love for us truly is, and that would lead us into the place where deep calls unto deep, for a deep returning unto you, that we would take our places as that royal priesthood, that we would take our place and see the continuing turning of a nation and the fathering of the nations of this earth, Lord Jesus. And as we turn, Father, we ask that as we walk in repentance, that you would raise up a standard of righteousness within our youth, Lord. We ask, oh God, that even a desperation for repentance would arise within your church, oh Lord, that we could become the fathers and the mothers, oh Lord, of this generation coming up. Give us treasures out of darkness, Lord Jesus. Help us to take our place where it says, O Lord, in the Old Testament, to rise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, because I have given you horns of iron and hooves of bronze to break to pieces many nations and devote their ill-gotten gains to the Lord, their wealth to the Lord of all the earth. The youth is one of the greatest commodities of this wealth, O God. We ask you to lead us in repentance, O God, that we would not only be under your standard of righteousness, but that we would help establish it by the work of the cross and the resurrection in us. Oh, Lord, we ask you, oh, Father, to set our youth free. Lord, we ask you to lead us in repentance in this nation from the sin of sacrificing our children through abortion. We are so grateful that in your mercy you have woven together these times, its circumstances, and these times to begin awakening your church and awakening the people. Oh, Father, continue. Father, continue to awaken us. Awaken us. Awaken us that we can repent, oh, Lord, from this grievous sin before you. Oh, God, we ask you to relent. Send your mercy, oh, God. Lead us in repentance. You are such a good, good Father. We love you, Lord, and we are so grateful that you speak your words of truth to us, even as Ricky shared tonight. We thank you for your words of truth, the way that you father us. And we just ask that you will be glorified in your church, Lord Jesus, because one day a holy bride will marry the Lamb. One day a holy bride will marry the Lamb, and that day is approaching. So Jesus, build your house of prayer. Holy Spirit, lead us in repentance. May your standard of righteousness be raised in the treasure of our youth, O God, as you work this out in your church, O Lord. We thank you. We thank you for the greatness of your love. We thank you for the perfection of the way that you father us. And we give you all glory in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you for who you are, not just what you've done, O Lord. O God, help us, Lord, that we would not seek your hand, but that we would seek your face in all things, Lord. Lord, O Lord Jesus, O Lord Jesus, that we would truly seek first your kingdom and your righteousness and have understanding, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your long suffering. Thank you for wooing us, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us, Lord. Really, O God, you have forgiven us for shunning the work of redemption, in that we have been complacent and we have been lackadaisical. O God, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for the error of our ways, Lord. O Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Forgive us that we've not placed priorities in our lives as we ought, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for not loving you and hungering after you. Oh, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. It just reminds me of the Song of Solomon, where you came and knocked on the door, oh Lord, and your bride that you longed for was sleeping and lying in bed and didn't get up. And you left, and you left. After a while, you left, and then she went out looking for you and couldn't find you. Lord, wake us up. Lord, wake us up. Let none of us think, Lord, that we have arrived or that we are at a good place, Lord. We all are short. We all fall short. We all fall short, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you help us, Lord. Thank you for the message that Ricky brought tonight, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Work it in us, O God. Give us understanding. Lord, we are so dense. We are so... Oh, God, we are so calloused. Lord, we need revelation. We need a touch of your Spirit, Lord. We need revelation, God, that it would penetrate into our hearts and not just sit on the top of our minds. Oh, that we would not hear it and say we know it because we heard it and it's in our minds, because unless it gets in our heart, it has no impact. Oh, God. Oh, God in heaven, help us, Lord. Help us to not just say the words, Lord, but help us to put first things first. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us to put first things first, Lord, as you did when you rose up early in the morning and you went out and spent time with the Father before the sun was up. Oh, God in heaven. And like David in the Psalms, in the Psalm says, early in the morning, I will rise up and seek thee. Give us understanding. Give us revelation. Remind us, Lord, of when we met, you know, that person in our lives that was so of such great importance, and we did anything, and we sacrificed everything. Oh, Lord, give us that heart today for you, that we would cause you to be that first love again in our lives, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. It's not even though it's your desire, it's not even so much for your sake. It would be such a great benefit to us even to know you in that way and to communicate, to walk with you, to fellowship with you, to hear what you're saying, to know you, to experience you. It's what you desire. It's what you long for. It's what we long for, but we don't know. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for World for Jesus Ministries. I thank you for Nita. I thank you, Lord, for the example, Lord, of knowing you, of realizing that things that previously were thought so far off, so far away, just unreachable, Lord, that it's not unreachable. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Remove the callousness. Remove the thick skinness, Lord, from this world that has caused us to be corrupted in our minds because of the ways of the world. Oh, Lord, thank you, Lord. Create in us a clean heart, Lord. Renew a right spirit within us, Lord. Touch the coal to our lips, oh, God, and cleanse our lips. Oh, God, we need you, Lord Jesus. We need need you, Lord. Lord, forgive us for just assuming that that we'll do things that we ought to do and then falling short of that over and over. Oh, Lord, your word says that you do not give a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that word for sound really means disciplined. It really means disciplined. Lord, help us in our discipline. Help us to plan things out, Lord, to plan to spend time with you, to make plans, Lord, and to execute those plans, Lord, and to, Lord, that we would come into that secret place with you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to understand what love is. Lord, your word says that if we love you, that we will keep your commandments. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, and your commandments. You said the two greatest commandments were to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second was like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, God in heaven, those are the great commandments. Oh, Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Cause us to walk in those commandments, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives. Thank you for waking up the church, Lord. Thank you for waking up your people, Lord. Thank you for waking up this country, oh God, to righteousness. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we lift up the president to you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you for President Trump. We thank you for the Cyrus mantle that is upon him. Lord, we thank you, oh Lord, that you lead him and guide him and direct him in the way that he should go, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you give him the decisions, oh Lord, that he needs to make, Father. Thank you that you put those upon his heart, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord, and he turns it, oh, wherever he will, such as water. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you turn his heart, Lord. Thank you that you show him the direction. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Thank you that you lead him and guide him into all truth, oh, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you give him discernment, Lord, concerning the character of men and women. Thank you, Lord, that you help him to identify those that need to be removed, Lord. Thank you that you give him wisdom concerning those that would be replacements, oh God, that would be loyal, that would have right hearts, Lord, that would be for your plan in this country. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, even for turning hearts of those in the Congress, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, that you would set things in order, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We just pray, Lord, for all the investigations that are taking place and that have been initiated, Lord. For the ones that Devin Nunes, Lord, has, the criminal referrals that he's given to the Attorney General, oh God. Thank you, Lord, that you cause those to come into the light quickly, that it would not be a long, drawn-out process, Lord. Thank you, Lord, even for investigation, Lord, into Adam Schiff and his false narratives, lying, misleading the American people. Oh, Lord God in heaven, thank you, Lord, that you bring everything out into the open, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the release of indictments. Thank you for arrests. Thank you for convictions. Thank you for jail time. Oh, Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for those that have been involved in pedophilia, involved with human trafficking, that have abused and harmed, oh, Lord, even these little ones that are yours, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, forgive. Forgive, Lord. I pray, Lord, remove them from the ability to be involved with any of that, Lord, that they would have time to consider, Lord, and to ponder their lives, and that you would bring them to a place of repentance, Lord, in jail. Lord, that they would have time to ponder and to think and to consider and to repent and to Turn from their wicked ways, Lord. Save their souls, Lord God. Save their souls from hell, O God. Thank you, Lord. But thank you, Lord, for cleaning house. Thank you, Lord, that the house of cards is ready to fall. Thank you, Lord, for purging. Thank you for cleaning. Thank you for purifying. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for setting things aright, O Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, let all the investigations concerning Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation and the former Obama administration and the DOJ and the FBI, oh, Lord, bring them to fruition, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bring them to fruition, Lord. Bring all of the exposure, Lord. Thank you for all of the exposure that's taking place right now, even on mainstream media television, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the article in the Washington Post that said that that Fox News was right all along. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, and they even called out Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham and Tucker Carlson. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you caused the American people to wake up to the truth, Lord. Thank you that you opened the eyes of those that have been deceived for years and years by the Democrat lies. Lord, open their eyes to see, Lord. Thank you for Brandon Straka, Lord. Thank you for Candace Owens, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the walk away movement, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the waking up, Lord. Thank you for the Blexit, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, establish truth all over this country. Thank you, Lord, for line upon line, precept upon precept. Lord, when that the president has been releasing things to make the people ready so that they're conditioned to be able to receive the truth, and it's not something that's so far out there in left field that they can't grasp it. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, for making ready. Thank you for using the saints. Thank you for using the remnant to spread the truth to their neighbors and to those that they come in contact with. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the epic times, Lord, that prints the truth, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for a large publication, Lord, that prints the truth concerning everything that's going on. Thank you, Lord, for Sarah Carter. Thank you for John Solomon. Thank you for the Fox news people, Lord, that are speaking the truth, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we pray concerning the pro-life movement in this nation, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the states that are standing up, the legislatures and the governors that are voting and putting into place that life begins, that there can be no abortions after a heartbeat is detected. Thank you, Jesus. And some are even more restrictive than that, Lord. Thank you, Father, for overturning Roe v. Wade. Thank you, Lord, for bringing into place a new Supreme Court justice to replace any that are unable to perform their duties, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are changing, that you are bringing true change, Lord, that you're bringing true hope, Lord, not the hope and change that Obama was talking about. But, Lord, you're bringing true hope and change to this nation, to the people of this nation. Thank you that the people are waking up, that they're seeing, that their eyes are being opened, Lord, more and more, more and more. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, we pray concerning human trafficking, Lord, that you cause sting operations, Lord, to be effective, Lord, all over the country. Lord Jesus, for exposure, for arrest, for convictions, for jail time. Thank you, Lord, for the implosion of organizations and networks that have been involved in this. Thank you, Lord, for exposing the Clintons' involvement, Lord, in Haiti. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for exposing Epstein. Thank you for exposing NXIVM. Thank you, Lord, for exposing all of those involved, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. No stone left unturned. Thank you, Jesus. Remove the cover-ups. Remove the spirit of cover-ups, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And we lift up Great Britain, Lord, the UK. Lord, thank you that you accomplish your purpose there. Thank you, Lord, that you set free the captives. Thank you that you set free, Lord. Thank you that you caused there to be an honoring, Lord, of the vote of the people that voted to leave. Thank you that they would not be coerced. Thank you, Lord, that there will be no compromise by Theresa May. Remove her, Lord, if need be. Remove her, Lord. But thank you, Lord, for a true Brexit, Lord, for a true leaving out from under the thumb of the Illuminati, out from under the thumb of the New World Order control in Belgium, unelected officials. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Constraining, controlling the borders, controlling immigration. Thank you for removing it, Lord. Thank you for removing it, Lord. Thank you for restoring the sovereignty to the countries in the United Kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you exercise and accomplish all that needs to take place, Lord, in Canada and in Mexico. Lord Jesus, thank you for the authorizing and the approval of this USMCA agreement, Lord, and trade between the three countries, Lord, the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. Thank you, Lord, that you cause there to come order at the border. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Mexican president, Lord, taking action, Lord, concerning these caravans that are traveling all the way up through Mexico. Lord, that there would not be an encouragement, that there would not be a help, but that there would be a resistance, that there would be an apprehension, Lord, that you cause them to realize that this is going to be a great detriment to them if they do not follow through, Lord, with stopping these caravans. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the message, Lord, getting out from the President, Lord, concerning the overrunning of the facilities on the border, and that those states, those sanctuary cities, and those areas that have declared themselves welcoming of illegal immigrants, that they would feel the pressure, Lord, and that things would turn in our Congress, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for removing the loopholes and the release, capture and release, Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father, for turning this thing around. Lord, give strength and give help to Lindsey Graham as he comes to change this law in the Senate, Lord, and to vote to remove the 20-day restriction, Lord, and to remove the restriction of not being able to send minors back to Central America. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are working. Thank you, Lord, for protecting our president. Thank you for protecting the new Attorney General, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Have your way. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the approval of thank you, Lord, for the approval of Steve Moore as an addition to the Federal Reserve Board, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you keep the economy strong, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you keep things stable and secure, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are setting the stage, Lord, to bring about great change, Lord Jesus. Thank you for all of the arrests and the indictments, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for justice. Oh, Lord, we praise you. We give you praise and glory and honor. We give you thanksgiving, Lord, for all that you've done and all that you're doing. And not just that, but for who you are, Lord. Thank you that you bring us into that oneness and that relationship with you, Lord, that meets every need. Oh, Lord, every need, not just financial, but every need according to your riches in glory, according to your personhood, according to you being the Son of God and us being part of the family of God. We would know the inheritance that we have in you. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's do all the declarations. I want to make a quick announcement first. Before we do the declarations, just want to make sure that you're aware tomorrow night we will not have prayer, nor on Sunday this weekend because of the Passover and Resurrection Day. Please pray on your own. If you haven't done it before, look up what the Passover is all about. And tomorrow night is Passover, and it's really a rich experience. If you would find out about that, and just you can have it right in your own home, just a few elements, and it's a really special time. And then spend time with your families and be in prayer. But we'll be back again on Wednesday morning at 10:20 Pacific time. Okay.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise you,
Lord.
You know, it was such a privilege. It's such a privilege even to hear this message that Ricky shared tonight, because nobody's going to hear that message in church. It's a sad thing, but it's not even a message that you would hear in church. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, is everybody ready?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. In the name of Jesus Christ, we exercise our spiritual authority in the land. We declare in the name of Jesus that the wall is being built and finished on the southern U.S. border. We declare in the name of Jesus that President Trump is the greatest jobs president that God ever created. Amen. We declare in the name of Jesus renegotiation of the Iran nuclear treaty. We declare in the name of Jesus renegotiation of foreign trade deals. We declare in the name of Jesus that free trade be replaced with fair trade. Amen. We declare in the name of Jesus that the GDP grow by more than 6%. Amen. We declare in the name of Jesus the taking back of jobs lost to China, Japan, and Mexico. Amen. And we declare in the name of Jesus, our God is making America great again. Amen. Okay, let's declare over California and New York. We repent over the state of California and New York and declare a turning away from lawlessness. California and New York, turn towards righteousness and uphold the law of the land. Cooperate with immigration authorities and protect the citizens. Give no illegal rights to illegal aliens. Turn from wickedness, California and New York, and seek the truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's declare concerning justice, truth, and righteousness. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare that justice, truth, and righteousness prevail in every government outcome. Those guilty of voter fraud and organizing it, be held accountable. We declare truth and justice in all investigations in Congress, the DOJ, and FBI. We declare truth and justice in the investigations of the Clintons, the DNC, and the former Obama administration. Thank you, Lord. We declare the investigation of President Trump to be shut down.
No other investigations open.
We declare it's finished. Be shut down in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's declare concerning the church. In the name of Jesus Christ, we say to the church, receive the reformation of God.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we say to the church, receive the reformation of God.
We speak to the church, come alive to Jesus. Come out of foolishness. Come into the truth and flee compromise. Come out of man's works and consecrate yourselves and be holy. Stop your judging, church, and bow the knee in prayer and humility. Come out of Babylon, come out of her and be separate. We say to the church, wake up to the fear of the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's declare concerning the prohibition of racism. We prohibit racism from taking our cities in Washington State. Put your own state in there.
California, Montana.
We cancel, defund, and silence the voice of division and strife. We neutralize and cancel the efforts of George Soros, and we take back our cities. We take them back for the Lord, for truth, and for righteousness. Reconciliation prevail in the U.S. In the name of Jesus Christ, we speak peace to our cities and declare the love of God reigns. Amen. Okay, we're going to declare concerning human trafficking. Every human trafficking organization in this country be shut down.
Every human trafficking organization in this country be shut down.
Be exposed, be toppled, and crumble. We declare the revealing of hidden things everywhere. We declare an implosion of the network structures worldwide.
Worldwide.
Come down and be eradicated in the name of Jesus. Human trafficking, be stopped and apprehended at the border. Abortion, be overturned and the lives of the unborn be held sacred. Amen. Okay, let's declare concerning the fake news media. In Jesus' name, we declare to the fake news media lions, your mouths be shut. Speak no more lies and do not corrupt the minds of the people with falsehoods. Speak the truth or be silent in the name of Jesus. We neutralize subliminal television messaging by the blood of Jesus. We declare that propaganda bow to the name of Jesus and be neutralized. Amen. Okay, let's declare concerning Nigeria. In Jesus' name, we declare deliverance for the people in the nation of Nigeria. We declare a coming down of the corrupt leadership. Genocide, be stopped. Righteousness, be raised up, and God's people take your place in prayer. God's people take your place in government. Nigeria, know the truth and be made free in Jesus' name. Justice, truth, and righteousness prevail in every outcome.
Every election.
Amen. Okay, last declaration. In Jesus' name we declare deliverance for the people of the UK. We declare breaking free of the bondage of the European Union. We declare freedom for the people and sovereignty for the nations to set their boundaries. We say no to the New World Order and no to the control and yes to the Brexit.
We say yes to Brexit.
No to oppression and no to Sharia law in the name of Jesus Christ.
No, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you for your loving kindness, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your help, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your miraculous works, Lord, that you're performing all over the world. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you thanksgiving. You are mighty. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayers, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are good. Lord, your mercy endures forever. You are great and greatly to be praised. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you all for your joining in with the prayer tonight and the declarations. And we are making a difference, and we are winning in this nation. Keep up the good work. Keep up the your faithfulness is paying off. Amen. Isn't it a joy to see things change on a daily basis as a result of prayer? Prayer for not just a few days, but for years. Repentance and prayer and intercession. Amen. Filling the bowls in heaven. Amen. Lord Jesus, I just thank you. Lord, I thank you for your faithful intercessors, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for their hearts, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for their sacrifice of their time, Lord, coming to meet with you, coming to pray, coming, Lord Jesus, before your throne and praying the things that are on your heart, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for using them. Lord, thank you for calling them. Thank you for choosing them. For such a time as this, Lord, they've been called, Lord. Cause them to have understanding of just how important this time in history is and how important they are to you, Lord, and to us as well. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just pray that you bring each one, Lord, into what Ricky was sharing tonight, Lord, into what we prayed for concerning intimacy and relationship with you, in oneness with you, Lord. I pray, Lord, it's not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, Lord, is the only way, Lord. We can't reason it out, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that you bring revelation, Lord, concerning what was shared, Lord, that they would be imparted, Lord, that it would be a breakthrough in their spirits, Lord, of your people tonight, Lord, on the call. Thank you, Jesus, that you bring them into a realization, Lord, of the message that was shared. Thank you, Father. Thank you for turning away, Lord, from old habit patterns. Thank you, Lord, for a paradigm shift. Thank you for an ability to see that we are just strangers in a foreign land, that this is not our home, Lord, that we're passing through. Thank you, Lord, for revelation, for understanding. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for breaking the paradigm. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for breaking the old thought life in the name of Jesus, that we would all look in greater and greater degree, Lord, to that which is in heaven. For it says that we are seated at the right hand of Jesus in heaven, that we are seated with him in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give us that heavenly perspective in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, Carol, would you sound the roar of the Lion of Judah, please? Amen. 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 Please remember to keep Nita lifted up during your personal prayer time. For complete healing and for freedom from pain, Also, remember to pray concerning the Mueller report that has just come out in full. Pray against the spinning of the Democrats, trying to bring it of little value or to dismiss it as not being truth, and also pray against their spinning of the facts concerning Bill Barr, the new Attorney General. So God is working, and pray that the people in the nation will wake up and see the stupidity of the narrative that is being put out there, and that it will just cause an earthquake, a landslide of change in a new, for people to be awakened and for their eyes to be opened. Amen. Amen. Okay, Carol is going to sound the victory shofar, and then we'll declare the Aaronic blessing over you, and then she'll take you off mute to say goodnight. Amen. Amen. Would you please extend your right hand to receive the blessing? Yevarechecha Adonai ve'yishmerecha Yaher Adonai Ponavalecha ve'chunecha Yiso Adonai Panav Lecha Ve'asem Leicha Shalom Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his shalom. B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus, our Messiah, we bless you. B'Shem Yeshua, Amen. Thank you, everyone. We love you all. Thank you for praying with us. Bless you. Shalom.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Everyone.
Thank you for praying.
Thank you.
Celebrate the Passover. Amen.
Amen. Amen.